Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm Erin Fulton, and joining me this morning, I have Steve Ramp and Heather Bauscher here to talk about the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee. Thank you both for coming in this morning to talk about the good work you guys do.
Thanks for having us, Erin.
Yeah, thanks so much, Erin.
So the Fish and Game Advisory Committee, this is, man, it's a labor of love to help represent the people of Sitka and of Southeast to all the head honchos and all the rules that are made to regulate fish and game. That's a big job that you guys have taken on. And so for folks who may not understand the Fish and Game Advisory Committee, this is a group that it's any citizen or group who may have ideas to put towards the official, you know, Board of Fish or Board of Game. This is something that you guys will go through, and as different representatives of our community will either move to support or decline and give your kind of your two cents to Board of Fish or Board of Game. Is that generally the where we're going?
that's a good generalization of what we're doing here. We're a group of 17 publicly elected representatives that represent sport, commercial, and subsistence interests for the community of Sitka. And our job is to hold public meetings and give the public opportunity to weigh in on any of these sort of issues that happen to come up. And then our job is to carry those concerns and thoughts up to the next level, to the state level, so that when we get to the Board of Game meetings or the Board of Fish meetings, theoretically, the outcomes that come out of those decisions reflect the needs of the people in the community.
That's awesome. So it's not just, I feel like with so many different policy changes, it's like, oh, you can submit a comment on some government website, and you're like, well, I sent that out into the ether. I really hope someone reads it. The Fish and Game, or this, your advisory committee, actually, you're talking about it, you're involving the public, and you're actually writing those down and taking it to, you know, Board of Fish or Board of Game and be like, this is what we talked about and this is what we feel about it. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah,
it's a public meeting. The Open Meetings Act applies. We take minutes, and they get submitted to the Department of Fish and Game, who forwards them to the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game. And then we send a representative to those meetings to delve into further what our deliberations were like. In Alaska, it's different than most states, where the legislatures change fish and game regulations. In Alaska, it's basically the people do it through a process of meetings by the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game. Anybody can submit a proposal. You can, Erin. Mm-hmm. I can. We as an advisory committee can submit one. Say a charter association or a seiners association can submit a proposal. The Department of Fish and Game can submit a proposal. Once all those proposals are compiled, the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game send them out to the public saying, these are the proposals we're going to address in our next round of meetings. And we get Southeast meetings on a three-year cycle and statewide meetings every year. And then as an AC, we publish notice about our meetings. Got to be a public notice meeting. And we address these proposals. We take public testimony. We deliberate amongst ourselves. And then we vote whether to support or oppose a given proposal.
Got it.
Those votes and any comments we submit get submitted to the board, which they use in their deliberations. And they make the final decisions on whether to change these rules or not.
Got it. And the board itself, as Heather, you said, it's 17 publicly elected representatives, and there's seats open currently. So it's before you went on air, you said there's a 3-year term to be on the board
because
you
committee.
Said there, or committee.
Our local committee. We don't want to confuse it with the actual Board of Fish or
Advisory
actual Board of Game.
Committee. Got it. Thanks for catching me.
Yeah, no problem.
So it's every 3 years that the committee will discuss Southeast specific things. So you want to have like a full, I guess that's the 3 years is kind of the rotation you're going through. So for the committee now, what kind of seats are needing to be filled?
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. Right now is a really good time to jump in on the AC because we just got through our Southeast Finfish, and that's like the big one. I'm sure people were aware because we were meeting so many times before that deadline. I think we broke the record on number of meetings that a community has had before a deadline. But this year we're going to be doing some elections ahead of our Board of Game proposals in 2 weeks. Okay. We've got a couple seats up for re-election. We've got an at-large seat, we've got a hand troll seat, hunting seat, sane, subsistence, and at least one alternate.
Okay.
And you could reach out and let us know if you're interested in any of those seats or have any questions, or you can just show up at the meeting. We are going to be meeting next week to just kick off meetings again, mm-hmm. but the elections will be in 2 weeks because we actually have to give 2 weeks public notice for any sort of election.
So this, you don't have to necessarily turn in your, like, this is my packet to say I'm interested, because you guys were roped in. You thought you were just going to attend a meeting, and
it's kind of funny. Heather and I both went to our first AC meeting the same night, and both of us just went to see what it was all about. You know, I read about the meetings mm-hmm. in the paper over the years. I'm like, I'm going to go see what one of these meetings is at. Well, during that meeting, we both got heavily encouraged to run for a vacant seat mm-hmm. where they didn't have an applicant. You know, I said no 3 times before they finally convinced me. But anyway, that's how it started for us. And I was elected to the resident sport fisherman mm-hmm. seat. Heather was elected to an at-large seat. And more recently, she's transitioned to the conservation seat.
Okay.
And we have, like she said, on the ones that are up for election mm-hmm. in 2 weeks, most of the seats on the committee are designated
right.
for a specific constituency, per se.
Okay.
And we mm-hmm. try to take care of our constituent people. Mm-hmm. But the nice thing about this one is, almost without exception, when we're addressing a proposal, the members of our committee will vote for the health of the resource mm-hmm. before they will vote for increased take by their constituency.
Okay.
An yeah, example yeah. would be, say, king salmon. Mm-hmm. You know, my constituency is resident sport fishermen. I want to go to bat for people with a rod and reel in Sitka that want to go catch king
yeah,
salmon.
Yeah, I want to catch more.
And if there's a proposal to increase their bag limit, I should be all for that. However, if the resource is hurting and we don't have enough king salmon anticipated to support that increase, I'm not going to vote for that increase because I'm going to vote for the resource.
Right.
And that's the beauty of our committee. Almost without fail, every member will do that and vote for the health of the resource before they'll vote for their specifically designated seat.
So you're voting for not only on behalf of your seat and constituency, but the future members of your constituency.
In the best ideal cases, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's really cool. And that's not necessarily a given with any advisory committee, but that's been the trend for the Sitka advisory.
And we have really strong people in all of our seats, and we have a really impressive collection of people on our committee. Mm-hmm. And I may be a little bit biased, but I'm really pleased with the group of people that I have the honor to serve alongside on all of this with. And yeah, like he was saying, the at-large seats or the alternate seats, if somebody wants to join us, those are a really good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have the pressure of feeling like you have to represent a specific constituency, and you can learn how it all works a little bit and just be in the alternate or at-large seat.
Got it. So for these representing these different seats, like I think you said one of them is the hand trolling.
Mm-hmm.
To be in that seat, do you have to be like, yes, I am in fact a hand troller as well? Or do you just have to promise to, like, I'm going to learn about what this group needs and represent them to the best of my ability?
You actually don't have to be a hand troller to sit on the hand troller seat. It's desired. It's preferable.
Yes. Better
the only
that
requirement
way.
To sit on our committee is to be a resident of the Sitka community.
Okay.
And have an interest to serve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a volunteer deal. We don't get paid. We just put in our time trying to do our best for the users of the resources.
Yeah.
Ideally, we would have a hand troll permit holder or deckhand even mm-hmm. to sit on that seat, but it's not required.
Okay. And I guess that's also, like you said, there's that at-large seat, whereas if you mm-hmm. don't necessarily have a specific affiliation at this point, if you're still interested, it's something that you're representing the rest of the folks who may not have a specific affiliation with a seat, but mm-hmm. they're still a Sitka and they're still impacted by this.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody in this community is impacted by mm-hmm. these decisions. So I think anybody in the community that is interested in participating or being on the committee has, just as much right or reason to be there as anyone else.
And even if you don't want to be on the committee,
yeah.
we still encourage people to come to the meetings and share their thoughts
absolutely.
With us. That's our primary goal, is to solicit input from the community on these proposals or other, like, environmental issues that we deal with. Mm-hmm. Heather can get into all our ancillary stuff we do beyond the actual Board of Fisheries and Board of Game. But we want to hear from the public at the meetings, and we definitely consider that when we vote whether to support or oppose a proposal.
Yeah, what the people in the room are saying.
And it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Like, if I really want people to know that it is important to show up and speak up, because, what somebody says at some of these meetings can, change the way a vote goes. Mm-hmm. And it's important to participate and pay attention and weigh in.
Yeah, because you guys, you're here as volunteers to represent the community. You don't have any agenda necessarily that you're trying to drive in. This isn't a political committee.
No, and we're not political appointees. Really, when you get to the Board of Game or Board of Fish level, those are political mm-hmm. appointees, but we are democratically elected community representatives.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And one more topic I wanted to cover before we get off air here is, you had mentioned, Steve, beforehand, that you guys are taking into consideration different proposals that affect Southeast and the state, but you also are taking action or a stand on things not necessarily within state boundaries, but still impact the state.
Yeah, I'm going to let Heather talk to that, but I'll give everybody just a quick, an abbreviated version of the Board of Game proposals that are going to be before us in the next few weeks. One is to require hunter education courses in our mm-hmm. zones for the first time for people born after 2010. New goat hunting education requirements for goat hunters, mm. eliminating black bear ceiling requirements for residents in units 1 through 4. There's 3 to lengthen some trapping seasons, and changing the waterfowl season again. The Board of Game did that recently to change it to an every other year, different dates. Mm. Now the feds have allowed the state to do a split season in Southeast, and the actual Department of Fish and Game has submitted this proposal to utilize that and have a 2-week break in the middle of the season, so we get we still have the same length number of days, mm-hmm. but they're set out a little earlier and later to provide more opportunity for hunters. And that's just an example of the kind of stuff we deal with.
Cool. And so the first things that you're going to be addressing for the committee is for Board of Game. Get through these, and then you'll have Board of Fish opportunities to look through.
Just a couple statewide ones. Okay. We got through our heavy Southeast cycle last year, like I said, but there's still some statewide things that will impact Southeast that mm-hmm. we'll want to talk about.
Right.
The last biggie for Southeast for Board of Game is they recently increased the bag limit on deer from 4 to 6 mm-hmm. in Unit 4, which is Admiralty, Baranoff, and Chichikov Islands. Now there's a proposal to decrease it from 6 back to 4. So I'm sure that will bring a lot of, hopefully, public comment when we have our meeting on that one.
Cool. And that meeting is coming up it'll be in December. Next Wednesday on the 30th is kind of getting things rolling again.
Yep, we're trying to meet every week starting next Wednesday evening. And 2 weeks from now, we'll have the elections again into the Board of Game proposals. But next week, we're trying to get a meeting in ahead of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council comment deadline, which is the end of next week, the 2nd. So we're hoping to have a meeting on the 30th. It'll give us a chance to try out a new hybrid format, try doing the meetings in person and Zoom, and have both options and see if we can pull that off. And then once we dial that in, then we can dig into the Board of Game. But like Steve was saying earlier, part of the charter of our group is also to speak up on anything that impacts the habitat of the resources that, we're working to manage here. So we have the ability as our committee to weigh into other regulatory bodies as well on behalf of the community.
That's cool.
So that's why sometimes we write letters or we do resolutions on impacts of climate change to fisheries or weigh in to the Forest Service on how the Tongass is managed, because that's going to impact the fish and wildlife that we all depend on. So that's why we're also weighing in on the North Pacific Council issue with the salmon bycatch, because we're all impacted by the interception of the king salmon.
Yeah, and you've got, as a committee, as that, you know, democratically elected board, you got a little more oomph behind your statements and where you stand when you put in those comments to represent all of us. And unfortunately, we are out of time this morning. But that first meeting, if folks want to kind of start right at the top for this meeting season, is next Wednesday, November 30th. And you're going to be meeting every Wednesday, at least through the end of the year, likely into the new year as well.
Information about each meeting will be in the paper.
Perfect.
We have to do public notice. We're going to try to start off with a combined in-person and Zoom meeting, see how that works to combine the technology and the face-to-face, but they'll all be in the public notices in the paper.
Yep, 6 to 8 p.m. generally. We try to keep them under 2 hours if we can.
Got it. Excellent. Well, thank you both for coming in this morning, telling us about the Sitka Fish Game Advisory Committee, for all the work you guys got roped into doing, six years ago?
Oh, but we love it.
Well, you returned of your own volition, so it's got to be a good sign. And so that next meeting coming up on November 30th, information in the Sitka Sentinel and likely on the community calendar as well. Steve and Heather, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Erin.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.